I agree to your price. In fact, I double it just to ensure your loyalty. She pushed the purse across the desk. Captain Blake licked his cracked lips as he watched it moving closer. He finally reached out and took it, testing its weight before tucking it in his coat.
Very generous of you, sister. You're a woman who knows how to win a man's loyalty.
You're not going to count it, Captain? His cold eyes weren't touched by his servile smile.
Aye, sister, I'll be counting it when I get back to the Lady Sepha. When do you wish to sail?
There were still a few matters, a few loose ends to attend to. Soon. I have paid you more than enough to have you at the ready until I'm ready.
Aye, sister, you have at that.
He scratched his scruffy chin.
I'm content to sit. I'm in no great hurry to be sailing to where you want to go.
She leaned forward. You are sure you can make the voyage?
Aye, sister. The Lady Sepha has made the voyage before and can again. Still, I've no itch to be off into those waters until I have to.
He straightened his tattered coat.
How many ladies will you be bringing?
An apologetic smile spread easily on his weathered face.
I'll need to see to the proper accommodations.
Sitting back, she again ground her teeth at the memory of Liliana pulling off her hood at the joining rite. Liliana had let every other sister know her identity by doing that. Worse, she had been warned. It was more than a mistake. It was arrogance. Liliana was proving dangerously untrustworthy. With the power she was appropriating, there was no telling what she would do next. There was certainly no reason to take Liliana. As for the others, why take them all? The prelate had made a mistake by speaking her suspicions aloud, thinking a shield of additive magic would protect her. The prelate would have cause to suspect six of the sisters, but if the prelate were to die, there would be no reason for anyone, even Liliana, to suspect the others. Why take them when they might prove useful here? She was liking this plan more by the moment. Myself and five others will be going.
Mind if I ask why you fine ladies want to be sailing out around the Great Barrier? Isn't the old world to your liking?
She leveled a menacing glare on the man standing before her. I have bought your ship, your crew, and you for as long as I want them and for whatever purpose I want them. Answering questions was not part of the bargain.
No, sister, I just thought.
Your silence was. Without taking her eyes from his, she flicked her wrist and brought a blade to hand. I have always thought death too brief a lesson. I believe in long lessons. If I so much as suspect you have violated your part of the bargain, any part of it, they will find you still breathing, but without an inch of skin left anywhere on you. Do we understand each other? Captain Blake stared furiously at the blue and yellow carpet beneath his feet.
Aye, sister.
Then that will be all, Captain. I will be seeing you soon. Be ready to sail the instant you see six sisters coming. After he had gone, she pulled a spare dakra from a drawer and, resting an elbow on the desk, watched it spinning in her fingers as she thought. She didn't like leaving matters to chance. Best if all the loose ends were taken care of. Someone would have to eliminate Richard Rawl. Someone not going with them. She smiled. Someone expendable. Chapter 65. Richard sat quietly with his legs folded and the sword across his knees. He wore his Mriswith cape so that Pasha and Sister Verna wouldn't know where he was. He didn't want either to know the sun had set on him in the Hagen Woods. Either would surely come after him if they knew what he was doing. He had found a small clearing, high enough to be dry, and had waited there since the sun had gone down. He could see the full moon through the tight tangle of branches and judged it about two hands high. He didn't know what was supposed to happen in the Hagen Woods when the sun set on you there, but so far it seemed as it always had when he had been there before at night. He returned Liliana's call, and she came out from behind a fat oak. She looked about at the woods. It wasn't a tentative glance, but a confident appraisal. She sat before him, crossing her legs.
I got it. The aid I told you about.
Richard smiled in relief.
Thanks, Liliana.
She pulled it from her cloak. In the moonlight, he could see it was a small statue of a man holding something clear as glass. She held it up, showing it to him.
What is it?
The crystal. This clear part here has the power to amplify the gift. I don't have the power to get your Radahan off, if it is true that you have subtractive magic, because I have only additive. You will hold this in your lap. When we join our minds, this will help amplify your power so I can use it and be able to break the hold.
Good. Let's begin.
She pulled the statue back. Not until I tell you the rest. He looked into her pale, pale blue eyes at the dark flecks spread through them.
So, tell me.
The reason you can't help get the collar off is because you don't have the training to use your gift. You don't know how to direct the power. This will overcome that deficiency. I hope.
You're trying to work up to warning me about something.
She gave a single nod. You don't know how to control the flow, so you will be at the mercy of the aid. But the aid doesn't understand pain. It simply does what it must, what I need.
So you're telling me it might hurt? I'm prepared to endure pain. Let's get started.
Not might. She held up a cautionary finger. Richard, this is dangerous. It will hurt you. It will feel like your mind is being torn apart. I know you want to do this, but I don't want to deceive you. This will make you think you are dying. He felt a trickle of sweat run down his neck.
It must be done.
I will be directing my hand to try to break the hold of the collar. The aid will be pulling power from you to do as I need to overcome the Radahan. It will hurt you.
Liliana, I can take whatever is necessary. It must be done.
You listen to me, Richard. I know you want to do this, but you listen. I will be pulling the gift from you to help break the collar. Your mind will feel like I'm trying to pull the very life from you. Your inner mind may interpret that as me trying to suck the gift, the very life, from you. You will have to endure the feeling of having your life ripped from you. You will have to endure it until the collar breaks. If you try to stop it when my power is in you, trying to do as I must.
So what you are saying is that if it's too much and I want to stop, I can't. If I try to stop the pull on my magic, it will kill me.
Yes. You must not resist. If you do, you will die. Her expression was as serious as he had ever seen it. You must trust me and not try to stop what is happening to you, or you will die. And then Kaelin will die. Are you sure you can do that?
Liliana, I would do anything, endure anything to save Kaelin.
I trust you.
I will put my life in your hands.
She at last nodded and placed the statue in his lap. She gazed into his eyes a long moment and then kissed her finger. She touched the kissed finger to his cheek.
Into the void, then, together. Thank you for your trust, Richard. You will never know what this means to me.
Nor to me, Liliana. What do you want me to do?
The same as we have always done before. You just try to touch your Han, as always, and I will do the rest.
She wiggled forward until their knees were pressed together. They held hands, letting them rest over their knees. Each drew a deep breath and closed their eyes. At first, it was the same as it always was, just deep relaxation as he concentrated on the image of the Sword of Truth. The pain, at first, was simply an uncomfortable tingling. It spiraled deeper, settling at the base of his spine, feeling like a pulled muscle. The pain worked its way up his back. Abruptly, it erupted everywhere at once, something like the pain of the Aegil, a hot ache searing through the marrow of his bones. Denna had taught him to endure pain. He said a silent thank you to Denna for what she had done. Maybe it would be what he needed to endure this, to save Kaelin. The twisting torture took his breath. His back stiffened. Sweat instantly drenched his face. His lungs burned for air. With the greatest of effort, he drew a breath. Shattering pain exploded through his mind, plunging him into a timeless place of ripping, unending agony. He struggled to hold the sword in his mind. Tears ran down his face. He had to do this. It felt as if every nerve in his body were exposed and being held to a flame. He thought his eyes might burst. He thought his heart might burst. He flinched with each agonizing tug of pain. It was torture beyond endurance. And then, it seemed as if what he had felt had not yet been the beginning of it.
He was unable to scream, to breathe, to move. It seemed his very soul was being ripped from him. As Liliana had warned him, it seemed as if his very life was being pulled from him. He felt a wash of panic that this was killing him. He felt dark death soaking into the void left by what was being ripped from him. He dimly worried that this wasn't right. Terror burgeoned deep within him, and then that too was pulled into the swirling torrent erupting outward. He wanted nothing more than to scream, as if it would somehow ameliorate the agony, but he could not. His muscles seemed to be losing their life along with the rest of him. He could not breathe or even hold his head up.
"Please, Liliana, please, hurry, please."
He struggled not to resist what she was doing. He prayed that he would not fight her. He had to get to Kaelin. She needed him. His eyes were open, he realized, when he recognized the statue in his lap. His head was hanging. The crystal was beginning to glow a dull orange. A dim part of him thought that that must mean it was working, doing its job. His head felt as if it were coming apart. He expected to see blood dripping down, but he saw only the orange glow increasing.
"Please, Liliana, hurry."
Blackness was enveloping him. Even the insufferable pain was beginning to seem distant. He felt life slipping from his grasp. He felt an emptiness coming upon him that was more ghastly than anything he thought possible. In the fading recesses of his mind, he felt a presence. Mriswith. He felt them near. His level of alarm rose. They were around him, closing in. And then he heard, as if from a great distance, Liliana's voice.
"Wait, my pet. You may have what is left when I am finished with him. Wait."